I'm thinking about having like a game night, having a bunch of people over and play You Don't Know Jack, you know, on the Xbox. And
oh, we should play Secret Hitler. Dude, that's a real game, and it's amazing.
I don't doubt it.
It's amazing. Secret Hitler, I played at Fantastic Fest for the first time. It's a board game, and it is the most successful Kickstarter board game-wise ever. It raised millions of dollars. Will Wheaton's a part of it. It's insanely fun.
Huh. All right. I'm up for whatever. So we need to do something.
I miss you.
I know. It's no good. It's no good being these long distance relationships don't work out. We can have some fun.
We will.
All right.
We will.
Let's do a show and then I got to get back to work.
Okay.
I was going to say I got to make some more money, but I ain't making any more money.
Yeah, there you go. You'd be like, hey, I need $92 an hour extra.
$1 million. Billions. Oh, I'll take like a, I don't know, Amazon gift card for $20. I don't care. It's all for the greater good.
Just start with $92 extra an hour.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Go from there?
Yeah.
No. I mean, we got talk show guys making $50,000 a week on their podcast that they do nothing extra for, but they get a $50,000 bonus a week for their podcast.
How do we not get that?
Because we don't have a billion subscribers, I guess.
We need to.
I don't know. Because we're not talking about the greatness of Trump.
We should if that will get us there.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know if I can sleep at night. I guess I could. All right. Let me start off this monkey show. Beep, 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 beep. 3, 2, 1. And welcome to another glorious day of movies and entertainment. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. Always a blast to be here with you on the show and to be with my good friend who, through the holidays, I don't see as much as I would like to, Mr. Kluger. We are both just two ships that are busy passing in nights.
We are. Yes, we are. We are two cruise ships full of hedonism and debauchery passing each other, giving that courtesy salute as we have to pretend to be with our family obligations.
always, but it's good to be with you, my friend, talking about movies. There's a lot going on. I mean, it seems like every day there's stuff I'm like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this on the show and talk about that on the show, because there's just every day it seems like there's craziness happening. I feel like I'm in a weird time of the world right now, but
we are. It is every day something new happens. Somebody gets fired, some show gets canceled, or there's a new trailer for a big budget $300 million movie that comes out.
I know, and we're going to talk a little bit about this part of it later in the show, but the day that we're recording this show, that we're together this morning, my wife ran into the room shouting about the news report that had popped up on her phone, and it's been chaos here in the Mungle home. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that actually means and kind of break that down. But first of all, I want to look at the weekend box office. Now, dude, I don't know if you found this as funny as I did, but Justice League, only 2 weeks in, gets booted from the number one spot by Coco.
How are you not surprised at this?
I mean, I don't think Thor week two would have been bumped by a Pixar animation film, even though everybody's touting this as a great, one of the best Pixar films ever. It's just weird to me that Justice League can't stay number one for 2 weeks in a row.
Because people didn't like Justice League for the most part.
But I'm seeing a lot of people who did like Justice League. I mean, I'm getting mixed stuff on this. A lot of people did. Maybe it's just people don't want to go see Justice League right now. They want to see something more family-friendly because of the holidays. Was it maybe Thanksgiving weekend that helped Coco?
Well, perhaps, yes. But, I mean, even with Coco being PG or G and Justice League being PG-13, you have very family elements with both movies, Coco being about a family and animated, and Justice League basically a new family coming together and superheroes that everybody knows. I just think DC has left such a poor taste in people's mouths with past films that nobody really cared to see Justice League. Or, I mean, they did because it's made money, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just know the fact that I don't know. I just can't figure it all out. It just blows my mind. Well, because I've got other stuff on the list. And did you see Coco?
I did not, but my writer did, and it was a 5 out of 5 from her, Becca Pearlson.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's is touting this thing as being, since Toy Story 3, the best animated film. And so I know it's going to do well. And granted, it only beat Justice League by what? Less than $9 million. So it's not like it just body slammed it or killed it completely.
And you got to think, like, a Pixar movie only coming in, you know, I guess it came in at $72 million or $50 million or something like that. But Justice League, I guess, did okay, but it didn't. It came in under $100 million, I believe, and that was way less than what people thought it would make. So people didn't go to see it because I don't know if they could ever recover unless it's Wonder Woman Part 2.
I guess, yeah, that's probably true. And then the movie Wonder, which is the one with Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson, I don't know why I totally lost his name, based on the popular kids book. I mean, it came in at number 3 with only $22.7 million. It's 2 weeks out. I thought this thing would do better.
But people are really loving Wonder, and
it's so happy sad, if that makes sense. It's such a heartwarming movie. It moves you. There's a lot of humor in there as well. I was worried it was going to be really heavy. But yeah, Wonder's a solid film.
Right.
So I don't know. And then Murder on the Orient Express, I love that film. You only brought in $13.2 million. I just must not know anything about movies anymore.
Maybe that's the case. I've always said that, but you're at a time of the year where people want to see movies, and usually at this time we would get Thor and Justice League during the summer, but now people want to release everything for the holidays or on Christmas or Thanksgiving. So I just think people are tired of seeing stuff sans Star Wars at the end of the year, where they've seen so much of this already during the summer. They just kind of want something else.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, you know, A Bad Mom's Christmas, I'm not surprised it's at the bottom. The new Denzel Washington movie, Roman J. Israel Esquire, and it's not doing too well. And they're touting Denzel for an Oscar this year, or at least a nomination for this film. But, man, it's maybe it's doing limited screens. I'm not sure.
He's nominated every year, so, you know.
He is, and usually for good reason. So.
Yeah, no, he's good. I don't know how well this movie will play to a mass audience, you know?
Yeah, me either. So, still, I guess Coco's going to be the big one. Next week's going to be interesting to see. I think Coco will stay at number one. We're going to talk about Disaster Artist here in a little bit that comes out this week and a couple of other films. But the way Coco's looking and the way Justice League is sort of, I don't know, flailing a little bit, I think Coco's probably going to be number one for a couple of weeks. Your thoughts?
I do believe Coco will be number one because people who didn't see it this week will go out and definitely see it or see it again, because it is being touted as one of the better Pixar movies in a long time. And nothing of next week really will strike anybody's fancy other than some kind of pretty cool indie films. But, you know, in 2 weeks' time, we'll have The Last Jedi. So Coco will reign until then.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a small break. When we come back, we're going to talk about more entertainment news, Blu-rays, DVDs, some shocking news as well. Plus, Brian's going to have some wrestling updates for us as well, plus a lot of tech talk and everything else. You can check me out at mongolshow.com. Be sure and follow Brian at boomstickcomics.com or High Def Digest. Take a small break. Come back with more right after this. Because that's how we do it.
That went well.
Dude, you know what we doing?
We didn't fuck up once.
We ain't playing.
We ain't playing.
All right, let's see. 3, 2, 1. And welcome back to the show of shows. The greatest show that has to do with entertainment. Really, I don't know of another show out there that does what we do.
How are we not getting $50,000 a week?
I don't know. You know, I guess we're kind of like the Van Goghs of our generation. Probably after we're dead and gone, somebody will dig up these shows and say, oh, these are brilliant. You should listen to these. Somebody will make money off of our art. We don't do it for the money. You know that. We've never done it for the money. If we did, we never would have done it.
That's true.
To start with. Oh, Matt Mungo, Brian Kluger here with you. Always talking about good fun stuff. There's a movie opening this week that a few of my friends, our friends, our mutual friends, have been just excited about. I was never excited about it, but I watched it. It's called The Disaster Artist. Do you know about The Room, which is the film this film is based upon?
Correct.
Are you familiar with The Room?
Oh, I've seen The Room more than 20 or 30 times.
That's not surprising.
In a theater, no less.
Right.
Much less at home. But yes, The Room is arguably one of the worst movies ever made. But there's really a lot of heart and soul into it. And The Disaster Artist really is about the director, filmmaker, creator of The Room, Tommy Wiseau, and his aura and presence in the movie-making business and making this movie. And you'll see why they made a movie about it.
Yeah, now watching this, I have never seen The Room. I didn't go back and watch it. I know it's like become this cult classic, and you know most theaters and art houses, they do so many midnight screenings of this thing. I didn't go back and watch it. I'm familiar with the story, and so The Disaster Artist, I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this. And then what intrigued me about it, I enjoy the film as I'm watching it, but then at the end, when they show the side-by-side clips of the original movie and what James Franco and his team did in The Disaster Artist of recreating these scenes and the making of the movie, it's amazing how well they did. I mean, it's like the words almost match up exactly in dialogue and in look. It's just, it's crazy how they made a movie about making a movie and then made it look so realistic. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, it's they did their homework, they researched, and they, you know, probably had Tommy there.
Yeah, he's got a cameo in the film as this other guy. And what intrigued me too, and maybe you know a little bit more about Tommy than I do from seeing the film so much, but the movie brings out the fact that not much is known about this guy. Nobody knows how old he is. He's probably from Poland, but nobody's really sure. He's got this like just unlimited amount of resources when it comes to money. It's like a bottomless pit of finance. This guy has like all, and nobody knows where the money comes from or where he got it. I mean, he spent $6 million making The Room, and it made $1,800 opening weekend. He bought one theater for 2 weeks so that it would be considered for an Academy Award. This was back in, what, 2001 or something, whenever. When did it come out, The Room?
The Room came out in 2003.
So he bought one theater for 2 weeks, made $1,800 after spending $6 million of his own money. But then it's going on to make a ton of money because of all the cult classics that it's found. But, I mean, do you know, why is this guy not more known about because of just his, you know, it seems like somebody would have done a movie about him a long time ago. He's like a Howard Hughes of bad movies.
Yeah, no, he really is. I think he's a good dude. I just don't think he cares about it all like, you know, most people do about social media and just getting out there. But I think he would probably be a good person, you know, and very jovial, or at least, you know, getting out. But, you know, I think just with him, just nobody cares. And with The Room, you know, it's not like a superhero movie. It's just The Room. And it became like this crazy cult classic that word of mouth, you know, trickled down over the years. And it's just become like this insanely crazy pop culture thing. And now he's getting, you know, he's popular now.
Right. And I mean, if you watch The Disaster Artist, and as they're showing the making of, as Tommy was making this film, and just the decisions that he makes, like, he's so eccentric, and sometimes you feel sorry for the guy. You almost wonder if he's just not really from this planet, and just some of the things they do. So obviously, he had a good feeling about this. I mean, nobody's making fun of him. It's like you're laughing along with everybody. But I mean, you got James Franco, his brother Dave is in this.
Right.
Seth Rogen, Josh Hutcherson, Zac Efron. I mean, everybody you can think of is in this film. And they're probably all there because they appreciate Tommy and what he did with The Room, as bad as it is.
Well, I think it's, you know, when you think of Franco or you think of Rogan, they're not, at least not now, they're not usually thought of as like the mainstay Hollywood type. They like to do their own thing. They like to pick their own projects, and you know, their creative juices are somewhat different than others, you know, in Hollywood, like say Tom Cruise or Ed Norton or something like that. So I think they bonded or connected with The Room, and Tommy Wiseau is like, he just does his own thing, and it's so crazy, but yet brilliant and weird, and we got to do this. I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And I really enjoyed watching The Disaster Artist. Franco does a great job of transforming himself into Tommy and everything that he brings. And just you can tell the cast had a great time. And then I was reading some other information about the making of it. And everything that they bring out in the film, none of it is like made up. I mean, this is all real accounts of what happened on this film set. And it's just, I don't know, it's cool. So, yeah, The Disaster Artist, I think it's out limited now and then hits all theaters like December 8th, I think.
Correct. And like I said, or like we've said, Tommy Wiseau is usually just an actor, but he did direct The Room. And the only thing he's really done directing wise, he made a little documentary in 2004. He's directed some stuff from Tim and Eric Awesome Show. And there's a series called The Neighbors, which he's done too. But he's acted in tons of movies, or not tons, but a few movies that are also on the same realm of The Room, as like they're so bad, they're good.
Right, right. Yeah. And then, and to give you an idea, if you're not familiar with this at all, one aspect of this, how bad this film is, they said that some scenes are completely out of focus because nobody ever bothered to check the lens to make sure that it was in focus. So they shot like just all these scenes and it's completely out of focus.
Yep.
You know, it's just the dialogue, just the way he handled certain scenes but you know, just the money that he spent. Like most people rent cameras and he actually bought all the cameras to shoot the film, which nobody does. You know, he just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars that he didn't have to, but obviously has. So, and then another movie that's limited, Wonder Wheel. I don't know if you're a Woody Allen fan, Brian.
Huge, huge Woody Allen fan.
Yeah, so is Wonder Wheel on your list? It should be.
Oh, it definitely is. I definitely, you know, I've always been a fan of Woody Allen. I always will be. I think Woody is, you know, just tells great stories with great writing and great characters. Even the ones that people seem to not like as much are still better than a lot that's out there. And, you know, we get a Woody Allen movie almost every year. If not every year, so I'm excited.
And I think he's focusing on writing. I think he's gave up directing a long time ago, even though he's a director. I think he's like, here's my script. You guys just do what you want to do. I don't know how much he directs. But when in this movie where you've got Justin Timberlake, who does a fantastic job, and Kate Winslet, who I'd almost nominate for a supporting actress in this one, it's just a great cast. Juno Temple's in it. So, again, Wonder Wheel Limited. It's probably going to roll out a little bit more theaters, so kind of check that out, especially if you're a Woody Allen fan. And we all know that when it comes to Woody's, Brian is a huge fan, so there's no doubt about that.
Correct. And you also have to bring up The Shape of Water, which is a Guillermo del Toro directed movie, which looks and sounds awesome.
We do. Let's take a break. We'll talk about Shape of Water, because there's some things I want to focus on. Let's take a small break, come back. We'll talk about that, because Brian wants to, right here on the show. I can't believe you let my Woody comment just float on by and didn't even say anything.
I like Woody.
I know. I said, when it comes to Woody's, we all know that Brian's a big fan.
Hey, when it comes to Woody's, I'm there. You see a Woody, you see my face.
Oh, damn. All right. You want to bring us back in 3, 2, 1?
Welcome back to the show, all the entertainment, movie, news, reviews for you. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger, we are here, we are live, we are in love, talking about movies. You're like, what? Do we have to, are we going to talk about Shape of Water? Because I got your Woody joke, and I loved your Woody joke, because, you know, I like Woody.
It's you.
Yeah,
it's me. I mean, if anybody would appreciate that, that would be you.
Aha.
But yeah, let's talk about The Shape of Water. The only reason I didn't really bring it up, I mean, it only opens in New York City. So if you're listening in New York, go see it. Some of us have had a chance to see it press-wise, but it's not in a lot of theaters. But let's talk about The Shape of Water, because we've been seeing the trailer for this thing. Guillermo del Toro did this movie. Are you a fan of his?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth. You've got Hellboy 1 and 2. You've got...
I wasn't a big fan of the Hellboy series.
The Crimson Peak.
I'm still talking about Crimson Peak.
I don't know. I like him. So The Shape of Water is kind of like a romantic horror thriller tale of about a woman falling in love with a sea creature, basically.
Right. But there's a lot of also, you know, the time period that it's set with the, you know, the government experiments and, mm-hmm. you know, everything. It's kind of got that vibe to it as well. When there was it was a more naive time in our culture in America and in the world. And so, yeah, I think it's going to look amazing and be amazing. It's a little bit more thriller than love story. It's kind of a good balance, I think, between the love story of this woman and this sea creature, and then the action of, you know, what they try to do. I don't want to give too much away, but what they try to do with the experiments and things that lead up to that with this woman that's involved. And so it's just one of those fantasy films that I hope does well. I hope it does. I just don't know. I don't know if people are ready for it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Hellboy. It doesn't have the mass market appeal, but it'll have a cult following for sure.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's probably one of those that's going to do better once word is out?
Word is out, and perhaps on home video, probably the best bet.
Because I think what it's going to have against it going into the holidays is the fact that it's R-rated and that it's over 2 hours long.
Correct.
So I think that's going to dissuade some of the normal going culture. But the fact that it's directed by Del Toro, it's got Sally Hawkins and Octavia Spencer and Michael Shannon, who we love, and the quirkiness about it. I think that, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it does when it finally hits the big screen.
Correct.
In full, not just in one or two cities.
Yes. And I'm really excited that another Wolf Cop is getting a limited release.
I don't even know what that means.
So Wolf Cop, this is a sequel, another Wolf Cop. Wolf Cop 1 is a low budget comedy film about a werewolf who turns into a police officer, or vice versa, police officer who is a werewolf. He wears like the outfit and everything. It's real silly and fun and gory. So they made a sequel, and it's getting a limited release. Hooray! Another Wolf Cop. Go look it up. I know you'll love the poster.
So is it kind of like I hear Wolf Cop in the background?
Yeah.
So is it kind of like an older Teen Wolf?
It is like a, well, gorier and sillier Teen Wolf.
All right, cool. Well, see, I had no idea. See, this is why you bring us vague information. And a lot of people are probably listening going, dude, I thought everybody should know about Wolf Cop. All right, well, you know, we mentioned a couple of films, Shape of Water, Disaster Artist. Some of these are already being touted in early Oscar predictions. I know we're not even through November yet. Oscars are early March when they actually announce them. But this is the time of year we get the Oscar bait films. Do you have any early Oscar predictions?
Ones that I want for sure. Like, I think Get Out needs to be nominated and Split needs to be nominated for something. I haven't seen The Post yet, but I have a feeling The Post is going to get a lot and it probably shouldn't.
Well, see, I don't know. Yes, The Post being Steven Spielberg's film, it's got Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. It's this year's Spotlight. Spotlight was my favorite film a couple years ago, and it won Best Picture. They're saying this is going to be in that kind of a same vibe. Some of our friends and critics are calling it better than Spotlight.
I'm out.
You're out.
Baby Driver should be nominated for some stuff, for sure.
Yeah, Baby Driver's on my list. But see, and here again, we're always torn when we have these conversations between what should win and what we want to win. Well, so sometimes you got to look at the fact that The Post is always going to win out over Split.
I think, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what you said what we want, what should, I think it should be what will and what should, because what we want and what should win should be the same thing.
It should be, but usually what's on my list, the films that I'm passionate about, like films like Wonder Woman and Baby Driver and the new Thor Ragnarok, those films, they should win something because they're just, people love them. People have enjoyed them. And then you have other films that people haven't even seen. And we always see that, you know, when it gets Oscar nominations, everybody's rushing out going, I've never even heard of half of these films. But right. We have.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, let's take another small break. Come back. We're going to talk about Blu-rays and DVDs and then some more about the Oscar prediction films you should keep an eye on right here on the show. That went fast.
Yeah, it did. I mean, shit. I think Dunkirk should be in there. And
I don't know. Hang on. Let me check this. I know. So yeah, let's talk. We'll come back and talk some more about Oscar movies, and then we'll start playing time for Blu-rays.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the show. So much information we're trying to just cram into this week's show. It's so much, especially this time of year. Matt Mungle, mungleshow.com, along with Brian Kluger from boomstickcomics.com and High Def Digest, talking and breaking down films, what we want to see get some accolades, and what should win. And what will win, and it's always a crazy time of year to predict and understand what direction Hollywood is going to go. I mean, the Golden Globes from the foreign press, they always have their thing, and this is always interesting. So even during the break, you were mentioning to me films like Dunkirk, which you think should be in that list?
That and The Big Sick?
Why? Dunkirk didn't do anything for me.
Oh, man, I thought Dunkirk, I mean, yeah, definitely for Best Picture, if they're doing 10 movies, Dunkirk should definitely be in there for picture and acting and sound and visuals. Yeah, Dunkirk should definitely be in there.
Okay, so they'll give them nods for the things you mentioned, but overall, Best Picture. In fact, if I had not seen Darkest Hour, which is the movie with Gary Oldman playing Winston Churchill, if I had not seen Dark Hour, Dunkirk wouldn't make as much sense to me. I actually liked Dunkirk more than I probably would have just because of The Dark Hour. I didn't really understand. I wouldn't have known what Dunkirk was all about with all the, you know, the civilian boats coming in and they're stranding on this island and guys flying around the plane. I'm like, all right, why are there all these civilian boats? But then you get the background of what Winston Churchill was doing at that time. It just makes more sense. So they should put those two movies together.
Oh.
If you haven't seen,
were you asleep during Dunkirk?
Almost. It didn't really. And you know me, war movies aren't my thing anyway. But it just, I don't know. I didn't get the vibe. Like to me, Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner, is so far above and beyond Dunkirk as far as how it looks, how it sounds, the acting, the story, the intensity. Man, I would take Blade Runner over Dunkirk any day.
Interesting. So I bet Blade Runner will be nominated too, not Best Picture, but visually, cinematography-wise, yes. Yeah. And you seem to turn your nose up at Big Sick.
No, I just wonder if the films like Big Sick and Get Out, and they just get lost in the shuffle. Those are great films, and people should see them. I just don't know if, man, once the smoke clears, if they're going to have the legs to win out over all these films that are coming out, like Lady Bird, like The Florida Project, like The Shape of Water, which we talked about, all of these films. I just don't know if they're going to make the cut. I just don't know if they're going to make it.
It's going to be awesome when Jordan Peele wins Best Director. I hope that happens.
Oh, man. I could see that happening more at a Golden Globes or even Critics' Choice, which I'm a member of. I just don't know if I don't know. Yeah. Because you know what's going to happen if he does win? Then Clint Eastwood's going to stand up and go, get out!
Yeah, there's an empty chair.
Oh, it's crazy. But, you know, we say it, but I do enjoy this time of year and all these films that are coming out. It's a love-hate relationship because we're just bombarded with movies we have to see and really pay attention to. Unlike any other time of the year where we go and just enjoy the movies, like during the summer, these we really have to, I think, study even more. Because of what's at stake. So, but then some people just wait for stuff to come home. So I know there's a lot of stuff on Blu-ray, DVD. What's up? What's your recommendation, Mr. High Def Digest?
For 4K UHD, nothing really is coming out that is worth anything 4K-wise. I mean, you have American Assassin, meh, Despicable Me 3, Jumanji, Men in Black Trilogy, Transformers, John Wick 1 and 2. I mean, these are all movies we have already. Just in sets. As far as just standard old, regular old Blu-ray stuff for December 5th. It's a lot of the first South Park seasons are finally going to become on Blu-ray. So seasons 1 through 5, if you are into South Park, you might want to pick those up on Blu-ray, as well as the amazing holiday horror classic Silent Night, Deadly Night from Scream Factory to Collector's Edition. Those are probably the big movies. Oh, and if you missed the new Twin Peaks sequel series on Showtime, that's coming out on Blu-ray too.
You know, we should do a whole show whether or not they should do Christmas horror films. Horror has its own holiday. Why do they want to bring that in? Like, Better Watch Out is another one that's out this week.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a few. Why do we want to do horror Christmas films?
Because they're fun. I think it brings, you know, the spirit of Christmas, but it also adds, like, a really cool vibe of, like, this horror blood aspect to go with maybe the color scheme. It's just fun. Like, I reviewed a movie called Red Christmas, which was a horror film set at Christmas time with Dee Wallace. And it had blood, presents, Christmas trees, and abortions.
Oh, my gosh.
Really everything you really wanted in a Christmas horror movie. And I don't know. It's like this subgenre that's still going, so I'm into it.
I guess. Now, and I know this came out last week, but I don't know. We didn't have a chance to talk about it because of the holidays. Did you see Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets on 4K? Did you get that?
I know. I did not do the 4K, but I have seen the movie now, and it's just, it's eye candy.
I just wondered how it looked, because I know it didn't do well at the theater, but it's supposed to look beautiful. I just didn't know how it looked on.
So I saw the high def version. I didn't see the 4K version, but no, it looks good and standard, for sure. I'd imagine with that 4K UHD, because it's so visually heavy and CG, everything going on screen, it would enhance and upgrade some of the finer details and colors, which there is tons of in this movie, Valerian. But you know. That's the way to go if you're going to buy it. But again, most people will be disappointed with Valerian. So I would say just not do it.
Right. Yeah. And then even though there are huge fans, I know, of this film, but you can win Valerian or Hitman's Bodyguard, which is one of my favorite comedies of this year. It's now out on Blu-ray and DVD with Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson. You can actually win, have a chance to win Hitman's Bodyguard and Valerian at MungleShow.com. As well as Despicable Me 3, which is the new one. Did you like Despicable Me 3 as part of the trilogy?
I didn't see it, so
I don't know if you've missed anything. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the first film. The second film was good. I didn't like the Minions spinoff. My 5-year-old did. I did not. Despicable Me 3 was probably the least of the three, sadly.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, and I'm with you. I like the first one. Second one's pretty decent. Minions, ugh. And so this one probably wouldn't like it.
Yeah. I will say this about the Minions movie, though. It has one of the best soundtracks. If you like just classic 70s cool tunes, the Minions soundtrack is impressive. So there is that. So again, check out Despicable Me 3 if you are wanting to win it for your family. You can go to MungleShow.com. Taking a small break, come back and do some tech talk, plus some wrestling news all right here on the show.
Welcome to the show.
I have no idea what you wrote down for segment 5. I don't know what these words mean.
Do you do you get my emails when I enter your contests or anything?
Yes, I do.
Well, thanks for responding, Dick.
No, I mean, there's no response that I could do that could really. It's almost better for you to just imagine what I'm thinking.
Okay, all right.
You know what I mean? Any response is going to be trite compared to, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I appreciate them, though, if that helps.
Well, good.
Well, good, whatever.
Good.
Good, good, good. I'm checking some email. Make sure nothing's coming on. People talking about Marjorie Prime. Yes, I got the screen. Did you see Marjorie Prime?
Nope.
Man, I don't know what they expected that movie to be, but it wasn't.
It wasn't what I expected. What they
it was
expected.
An interesting concept, but man, it was, yeah, I don't get it.
It was fucking terrible. All right.
Bring us back if you want.
All right.
And in 3, 2, 1.
We're back talking entertainment news and movie reviews and love. We'll talk about Blu-rays, movies coming out, and now we are on to Tech Talk.
I don't know. You have a list of things here you want to talk about, and the one that there's one that jumps out at me more than the other. Which one do you think it is on your list that jumps out at me as something I would be interested in?
Apple HomePod.
So I don't mess up the list of how you want to talk about it, but that was the one that jumped out to me. I'm like, ooh, I don't know what Apple HomePod is, but I think I need one.
So the Apple, yeah. So it's really funny. Apple HomePod is basically Apple's response to something of Amazon's Alexa Echo or something like that. It's going to be an in-speaker or an in-home speaker that you'll be able to ask questions to and everything like that. So the Apple HomePod has been delayed until next year because just nobody cares about it and nobody knows what it's going to do. So I have the new Echo Plus, the Alexa from Amazon. It's great. You can do anything with it. Like, you can ask it literally anything, and it gives you the answers. You can tell it to play anything. It works well with your apps on your phone. It works with your Amazon Fire TV. You just say it, and it does it. It's pretty brilliant.
Now, that said, so you do have to have Amazon Fire. I mean, I have Apple TV. I have an iPhone. I have a Roku. Those are my devices. So Alexa Plus is not going to benefit me at all. Or will it do on its own without all these other?
So
does it play well with others?
So right now, if you just have an Apple TV and the Echo, it won't work together. But you can have apps on your phone that like Spotify or anything else that will work with the Echo Plus, but. If you want everything Amazon hooked up, you know, you're going to have Amazon products, at least for now.
Right. Well, we have Amazon Prime. I guess I'm an Amazon Prime guy. So
yeah, with Amazon Prime, you can sign into your Amazon Prime app on like your smart TV or your smart Blu-ray or 4K player or Xbox, and it will work through that.
All right. Cool.
So you can do that. But the Apple HomePod has been delayed because nobody knows what's going on with it. Apple has not figured out what to do with it. So it's been delayed indefinitely. There's no release date for it yet. The Amazon Echo, or the Echo Plus, which I just got, which is brand new, was $119 and is badass. The Apple HomePod is going to retail for like $350. But it's only right now supposed just to play iTunes music. Literally, just like you could tell it to play your iTunes music, and that's it. There is no more functionality other than that. So Apple has taken a step back and trying to see what to do with it that the others do way better than it right now.
Yeah, because Apple was, at a time, the king of that. So, and if you think about it, I mean, we've always been just kind of, I don't know, and I speak for me personally because I am. If Apple comes out with anything, I'm on board with it. I don't stop to consider anything else, and we just kind of take what they give us. But they've always been very simplistic, and I mean, they don't give us much, but they want to charge us so much for it, and we buy into it because it's an Apple product.
It's not just the name; they do have, you know, really great software and hardware.
No, they do have great software and hardware, but they don't have a lot of times. They're you know, because I argue with people all the time because they're like, well, you know, you can't jailbreak iPhones. You can't, you know, they're very solid in what you can do to them. Like, you know, people who would always
they're not customizable. Linux. Yeah, Apple's not customizable at all.
And people who use Linux and who use other platforms have always, you know, talked about MacBooks and, you know, but I've just always been, I just loved the way they work. They're solid. Even though you can't change them at all, they're solid and they're dependable. And that's what I've always loved about Apple.
Correct. Like with the Apple 4K and the Amazon Fire TV 4K, the Apple 4K is, you know, excellent, and the Amazon Fire TV is literally a garbage dumpster fire, just like on all levels. But with their home speaker, it's amazing. And I, you know, nobody has a HomePod yet, but from what we've heard from the developers and the engineers, like, they don't know what they're doing, so there's that.
Gotcha. So, how are you loving your iPhone 10?
iPhone 10. iPhone 10's great. The facial recognition is simple and easy and super fast. Like, you know, in real time, you just put it up to your face and it unlocks. It, like, it's that simple. The screen size is great. It's good. Other than that, it's fairly this still the same phone, minus a couple tweaks with the photos and camera, which is way better now. So, yeah, I definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, because you've had a month or two now, and so have you, has there been any drawbacks to it or anything that you've not liked or ran across that you can't do with it that you kind of wanted or was disappointed in it?
No, like it's like I said, it's a good phone. I'm really, really happy with it, even better than my 6 Plus, so I really like it.
All right, cool. And then also on your list is the EABF2, which I don't, is that code for something?
That's Electronic Arts. That is Star Wars Battlefront 2 and the whole hoopla that just happened with the release of Star Wars Battlefront 2. Do we have time to talk about this?
We got a minute.
Okay, so EA released Star Wars Battlefront 2 video game, and they made it impossible. Or they didn't allow people to play as Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader when they got the game, because you had to play for at least 40 hours in the game to unlock them or pay extra for them. People went crazy online, and they ended up changing it like 48 hours on how you get them. It was either for free or you only had to play like 2 hours of the game to unlock them. Now, it seems that three people have dropped their stock in EA to the tune of $3 billion. Oh. So their stock went down 10% from this, which is amazing because EA is the worst company. In fact, you can look it up. EA has been voted the worst company for the last 3 years. With these microtransactions. So how video games with these microtransactions and these loot boxes you have to get are going to change forever.
All right, there you go. Well, it's always good information. Check that out. Oh, you can follow Brian at highdefdigest.com. Looking for him there, and he's reviewing all kind of cool stuff. And just to follow up on that, if you're going to do Star Wars stuff, you got to do it right.
Correct. Oh, I mean, the game itself is good, but it's just EA trying to make a buck wherever they can, even after you pay $60 to $80 for a game.
There you go. We're taking a small break, come back with some wrestling and a quick bit of sad news right here on the show. Sweet. All right. I'm going to touch on the Matt Lauer thing really quick.
Do your wrestling. Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Now, welcome back to the final segment of this week's show. Always great to hang out with you, Matt Mungel from MungleShow.com, and then Brian Kluger from BoomstickComics.com and High Def Digest, always bringing you great information. Well, the day we're recording the show this morning, my wife runs in, and she's holding up her phone, and she's like just in hysteria because of this news bit that's on her phone about Matt Lauer being fired from NBC News due to sexual misconduct. And all of our jaws hit the floor because we adore Matt Lauer. Today's show is what we watch every morning. Have watched him for 20 years now. This came as a huge shock, and you and I have talked about this on the show before, ongoing, all of these names that are every day. It seems like there's somebody else in here. I don't know how much you know about Matt Lauer, but were you as shocked about this? And I mean, the allegations from NBC was they had one report from 2014, and they had to research it, and then they think it's not just an isolated event, so they let Matt Lauer go. And so if anything has happened since 2014, maybe not, but this upstanding news guy of 20 years on the Today Show, now gone with this, you know, black cloud over him. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
It's ridiculous. I think just these allegations and these quick reactions like, oh, shit, you said nice tits 40 years ago. Sexual harassment. Okay, you're immediately fired. Your career is over. It's ridiculous. Now, if it's more than just like a simple pat or on the butt or something like that, it's just, I don't get it. I'm really waiting for, I'm not surprised about anybody anymore. I'm waiting for like Steven Spielberg now or, you know, just like, it's insane.
It is insane. And you know, and granted, yes, you want your workplace to be the way a good environment. You don't want to see, I mean, you got to feel for the person who come forward as well. We're not saying that we should let all these guys off the hook, but it just, I don't know. It's just, Matt Lauer has taken me by surprise more than anybody. And maybe not. We're all human. We all have done things. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, it was a big shock. So our best to him as he works all this out.
The sexual allegations and stuff like that, it just seems like it's not worth people losing their jobs over with what a lot of the stories that are coming out for it.
Yeah. And all that, and Trump's still president. Go figure that.
Exactly. Exactly. You know?
Anyway, so all right, well, let's get to some wrestling news, something a little bit more happier.
Well,
what's going on with wrestling?
Well, in the WWE world, Survivor Series happened, which was Raw versus SmackDown. AJ Styles is the current champ, which is excellent. Brock Lesnar is still champ, which is still good. The Shield has reunited. Roman Reigns is the U.S. Champion. The Miz lost his title, the Intercontinental title, finally after many days of holding it, because he is going to film the Marine 6 now, I believe. So he's taking a leave of absence to go film a movie. It's all good in WWE right now. Things are doing well. There is a guy in WWE who is named Elias Samson, and he is known as the Drifter. He comes in and he plays his acoustic guitar to like folk songs, but he's built like Brock Lesnar. He's a big giant dude and a great wrestler and great on the mic. I just hope that it ends with some sort of somebody smashing his acoustic guitar and he comes back 2 weeks later as like this ultimate punk rock god, a la like Twisted Sister, and like, oh, it's gonna be so good. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has been a face in the company for so long. He is now a big bad heel with Kevin Owens, which is really cool too to see. Hopefully they do it well. And I would like to say that NXT War Games, the developmental brand pay-per-view a couple weeks ago, was insanely, insanely good. The Velveteen Dream had his debut pay-per-view. Velveteen Dream was a contestant on Tough Enough, the WWE reality show, and has done so well with his character that he is one of the most hyped over characters right now, and he's amazing to watch. Highly recommended. Cool. And if you're a cruise fan, if you like taking cruises places, there is a pro wrestling cruise headed up by Chris Jericho that you can sign up for. Just type in Chris Jericho cruise, and you will see tons of wrestlers will be on that cruise performing.
Are you going?
I am trying to. I am trying my best to get a press ticket for that.
Anybody needs to be on that boat, it's you, brother.
That's true. That's true.
All right. Well, cool. Well, there's your news. Sadly, out of time.
There it is. Out of time.
I hate to show how fast it goes.
It does. We need a 2-hour show. But we can do a quick after show after all this.
We can. So I'll tell you what, we're going to get out of here for the show, and appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Again, check me out at mungleshow.com. You can grab Brian at boomstickcomics.com or at High Def Digest. And a lot of information will be coming in the next several weeks, getting ready for some Oscar films hitting the theaters and holidays and Star Wars and all that. So appreciate you guys being with us each week right here on the show.
Good stuff. It is too short.
It is, man. I tell you what. Let's redo the segment one intro. It wasn't recording right.
Okay.
So we'll just do the opening, and then once we get into the box office, then I can just rejoin. So we'll just,
all right.
Let me open it back up.
That was good.
Well, welcome to another week of the show. Always excited to be here with you, Matt Mungle, mungleshow.com, along with my very good friend Brian Kluger from boomstickcomics.com and High Def Digest. I just feel like I don't see him enough. We, especially during the holidays, and we didn't do a show for Thanksgiving, and he's traveling, doing debauchery out on the toward the West, and I'm stuck here.
It was a lot of hedonism, sir. It was a hedonistic Thanksgiving with lots of turkey basters and gravy.
All wrapped around a bar mitzvah. So
yeah,
how does that work?
It really was.
It's always good to be with you. So everything, I guess, is good at the home front, and everything's well, and it's just good to be back. I have to ask you, as we dive into the show here, were you as surprised as me that Justice League, only 2 weeks in, got knocked out by Coco?
I am not surprised whatsoever. Nobody liked Justice League, and just people wanted to see a good Pixar film.
I guess, but I don't know, man. 2 weeks in, I just don't know. I don't think a Marvel film would have got kicked out that fast. But I guess maybe the holidays and Thanksgiving and the PG rating just helped Coco. So what do you think is gonna last at number one for a while?
Coco will last, I think, for the next couple weeks until Star Wars.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. I think that gives us into what we're talking about. So, okay. That's enough.
That's enough.
Sweet. So you want to talk a little bit about some after party stuff?
Yeah, let's talk some little after show stuff for the show. I want to bring up Warner Brothers sent me the first four Harry Potter movies on 4K.
Nice.
Holy fucking Moses, do they look amazing.
Yeah, I got the first two, and then I got the last one on 4K. So,
you got Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets?
Yeah, and then what was the Half-Blood Prince?
Okay. So if you are watching in 4K, my God, they just they look so good now. And just to see the two the first two, Chamber of Secrets and Sorcerer's Stone, to the visual style of Alfonso Cuarón in the third one, Prisoner of Azkaban, is just amazing, and how well the uptick in detail and colors. Oh, I loved it. In the DTSX soundtracks, that scene in Sorcerer's Stone with the big wizard chess scene, was so good.
Yeah. And none of that, the Harry Potter films, they don't lose anything over the years. They're still fun to watch.
No, they are. Like, you know, one and two are directed by Chris Columbus, who, you know, gave us Miss Doubtfire. They're kids' films, like they are, and then they get darker and darker and more progressively adult-like. But those first two, they're still really good, minus, you know, a couple really silly, you know, sillier kids things, but they're still excellent. And like, and I really enjoy them, I think even more so than when I saw them.
Yeah. I always thought that the Harry Potter films are even with it, because they're on television all the time, like on TNT or TBS. And honestly, you got to live through the commercials, but it's just always fun to pop in and watch those things when they're on.
Yeah, no, they are. And it's been fun watching them in 4K. And those are definitely the versions to get, because you get the 4K, you get both the theatrical and the extended editions, you get the Blu-ray, and you get the digital copy. So it's good, a lot for your buck. And then there's no new extras on the 4K, but there are all the extras from the Ultimate Editions imported over. So, damn good Harry Potter stuff, for sure.
Sweet.
And yeah, we have to bring up this Star Wars Battlefront 2 thing again.
Okay.
It's so crazy. So when you play a video game, you pay $60 for it, or more if you want like a special edition of it. That is expensive. So Star Wars Battlefront 2 came out. Star Wars Battlefront 1 is a fun game, but man, there are so many problems on all levels with that game that hopefully EA did the right thing, which they did. They made this game. They have a campaign mode. They have better connectivity and getting into maps and multiplayer. But if you get a Star Wars game, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to play with Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, right?
Or I want to be a stormtrooper.
You want to be you're the only one that wants to be a stormtrooper.
I know. I'm not a gamer. You're talking to the wrong person. I'm not a gamer, but yes, I would want the option of being. If my 5-year-old is playing, he wants to be Darth Vader. It's just how it is.
Correct.
So yeah, the fact that you can't be two of the main iconic characters just is ridiculous.
So they had those locked at, you know, launch, and in order to get those, you would have to play. You have to accrue so many points to unlock them in game points. And in order to get those in game points to amount to that, it would require around 40 hours of gameplay. Or to bypass that, you could pay an extra $8 to $10 per character to unlock them, which is horrible. So now, like, games now have, you know, they consist of loot crates and loot boxes where, you know, whatever points you get loot boxes that, you know, give you new outfits and new weapons and add-ons and stuff like that, which is fine. But EA took it the next level to make it almost near impossible to do for the main characters. So what happened, there was a huge backlash on the internet, mostly Reddit, about this. And some idiot EA guy, worked for EA, posted a reply, and it became literally the Guinness World Record holder for most downvoted comment in history. It was something over 1 million, and it sparked national news. So EA quickly changed it to where you would only have to play a couple hours to unlock these characters. Which I did. I have the game. And it only took a couple hours. But when that happened, EA stock has gone down almost 10% within the last week and a half. And people have sold their stakes in the company to the tune of over $3 billion. So,
wow.
This is going to change the landscape, which is good because EA is the worst company in the world. It's going to be nice. Like, I get microtransactions are the worst. I get it. Like, I do not like it. I would rather have to pay for a game. And then if there's downloadable content, you know, every 6 months, I'll pay the extra $2 or $3 you charge for it. But microtransactions, right. Like, especially that involves main characters of the game in order to play, that's horrible and terrible. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not good consumer sense either.
No, because how greedy can you be? You know, you're already making hundreds of millions of dollars on opening day. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you're not a gamer at all. You don't play any video games yet with a 5-year-old?
I do. We do. We love Mario Kart. We'll play Mario Kart forever. Okay. We'll play. He loves the what's the car game? It's like Forte or something. The really nice car when you can go in and buy different cars and you can map it out and drive and stuff. So any driving game we love to do, we'll spend hours doing that. Some of the interactive stuff, but I'm not a big first person guy. Like we had Star Wars Battlefront for our Xbox One. I didn't really care much for that. I like more interactive. Like I tell you, one of my favorite video games was there was an edition of Titanic where you got to go on and you would just interview all these characters and you would try to like smuggle things out and you weren't really sure what your objective was. And so you would think you were on the right path and you needed to find this and you get it taken off the boat, but you find out what you took off the boat actually like helped Hitler win the war or something. So then you have to start the game over. But it was really cool because it was like this immersive game where you feel like you're on the ship itself and all that. So I like that kind of stuff more than just, you know, walking around with a gun, looking around, shooting stuff. And, you know, and Milo loves Minecraft. He's a huge Minecraft fan. So okay. I think we're more into the creative side than just the let's point and shoot something.
Okay. All right. I get it. I have to ask, did you I just lost my train of thought. I don't know what just happened. Damn. Well. It'll come. Oh, here it is. Did you watch the new Avengers Infinity War trailer?
No.
All right. Came out today.
Oh, that's probably why. I've been busy.
Okay.
Haven't been online to do anything today yet.
I don't know.
Except for this show.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to fit all of everybody in. Because on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine, they have all the Avengers Infinity Wars over several covers. And literally, it's all of the Avengers characters plus all the Guardians of the Galaxy characters that will be in this movie. It's going to be very difficult to tell a story with so many big characters like this.
Yeah, everybody's going to have one line.
Yeah. So, I mean, the trailer, yeah, you're real excited about it because this is like kind of what they've been working up to since 2007. Mm-hmm, so, you have that. So that's out there. And it looks like they just cast Disney's live action Mulan. Her name is Crystal Liu, or Chinese actress Liu Yefei, but she's known as Crystal Liu. I guess I'm pronouncing that right, hopefully.
I wasn't a big fan of Mulan animated, so
okay,
but not surprising, you know me and animated films, I don't really care.
All right. Well, it's big news. I mean,
it is big news. No, it's huge news. Don't get me wrong. I'm just being very selfish in that response. But yeah, it's big news, but not for me.
And I'm curious, since we live
You've
in
always
such
been curious.
A little curious too. I'm into everything. I'm sorry, I get off on tangents. In this current PC time, do you think Disney would have hired a Chinese actress if it weren't for the PC? If they would have hired somebody like they did with Ghost in the Shell, or yeah,
no, because Disney's always been very perceptive about that, especially when it comes to their animated princesses and that world. So no, I think 25 years ago they would have done what they should have done.
Really?
Yeah, we saw it with The Princess and the Frog. We've seen it.
Well, The Princess and the Frog was animated, though.
Yeah, I know, but if they were to do a live action, they would keep things true to form.
Okay. All right.
You don't think they? You don't think they would?
No, I don't think
Disney's always been very good about that. I thought. Am I missing something?
I'm trying to think of live action movies that they did that with. I don't know.
I guess Beauty and the Beast was good.
But that's not like rich white people.
It's all rich white people. And you know all of the like Snow White and the Huntsman, all those films. Still rich white people, I guess.
Yes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I guess maybe so. Maybe because all of their animated films have always been pretty white girls. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we haven't an opportunity for them to do anything good or bad.
Like I do believe like something happened with Aladdin, and there was like a whole casting thing with Aladdin on trying to get the right ethnic person, not just a white.
Did they do a live version of Aladdin?
They're doing it right now. They're doing it right now, along with Mulan and Lion King. But with Aladdin and Mulan, they're not white, so you can't go to the Chris Hemsworth or the Scarlett Johansson's.
Right, the Olsons are out.
Yeah, the Olsons are out.
the Fanning family.
Yeah,
they're gone. You can put Alicia Vikander in there though. She can do anything.
Yeah, and it looks like the movie will be directed by Nikki Caro. I have to look. Oh, she did The Zookeeper's Wife.
All right.
So yeah,
more Jurassic Park films. That's all I'm excited about. Star Wars and Jurassic Park and Star Trek.
Is that all you want?
That's all I need.
That's all you need. Star dinosaurs
and Alicia Vikander thrown in there anywhere you want just for fun.
Is she your number one?
I like her. I appreciate her. Everything she's done, I have liked. The Newborn movie, I don't like how they directed her and what they made her do in the Newborn movie. But everything else, man, she is solid. I think she's a very well-rounded, and she's fun to watch. Her and Lily James, too. Those two are, as far as upcoming new solid female actors, I'm on board, man.
Good.
Good.
I have to ask, have you had any good interviews lately with any celebs?
Man, I have not. It's been nothing but just watching and trying to keep up with films. That's all I've been able to do. I haven't. There's been like Armie Hammer. I'm supposed to have an interview with him. I haven't been able to follow up on that. And
oh yeah, I was supposed to have that too. And I don't know what I was going to ask him. Probably. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So, yes, I haven't really it seems like there was something. Oh, I was supposed to do interviews for the Florida Project and for The Man Who Invented Christmas with Dan Steele. I haven't had time to do any of those. So I've just been doing nothing but watching movies trying to keep afloat.
Well, you're doing well, though.
Yeah.
I'm
not complaining by any means. It's a first world problem. Yeah, it's no issues.
I do miss you updating your website because you finally updated it today, it looks like.
Yeah, dude, I haven't. I posted some giveaways today, you're right, but I haven't been putting much on the website. Man, I mean, I haven't done much to Twitter lately. It's just been crazy. I also want to balance home life with work life and the holidays, and so
correct. But just know that I go to your website and I like to comment on things.
Yes, you do.
Well, yeah, I guess that's are we done? Are we good here?
So,
all right.
Luckily, I've got some fish to fry.
Okay, well, it's good talking with you as always. Let's get together and let's do a live show in person. We got to do that again.
Yeah, let's plan something. Let's plan either a game night or poker night or a live show or something.
Let's do it. I'm in.
I'm in too, man.
All right. We'll see you soon. Buddy. Later.